you need to use offsite construction to do that infill. Because if you use traditional construction, it'll take 2 years to finish that 9-unit complex, and it will not be built to the same standard and quality as offsite.
Welcome to the System Build Lifestyle, a special Art of Construction series dedicated to the growing world of offsite construction. Host Devin Tilley, owner of Mountain View Window and Door and founder of the Art of Construction, alongside Audrey Kubesek of Modular SureSite and Connect Home Builders, take listeners on a deep dive through this fascinating subject. Offsite construction techniques are changing the industry. Keep following the System Build Lifestyle series so you don't get left behind.
All right, tribe. Crank up the radio and put yourself on your favorite vehicle, whether you want to be in a sports car with the top down. For me, it's going to be on my Harley. Or you want to jump in a VW Bug, or maybe you're modern and want a Tesla. Okay, we're getting in that vehicle, and we're going to go to the beach in British Columbia with Tim Koontz, who before we got, when we were getting set up here on Skype, he's literally building up fire on the beach to have a fireside chat about offsite construction. This guy is the collaborator, a serial entrepreneur that is one cool L dude. And we're going to have some fun and learn from him about his passions about bringing offsite construction to life. So do you want to jump on the back of my Harley, Audrey, and go for a ride?
I want to do this. This is going to be great. Not to mention, he is the pure entrepreneur of talking about system build or offsite construction systems in Canada, which is actually the innovative leader of this type of industry. So I'm super excited.
All right. Here we have arrived. We're heading into the beach on a fireside chat with Tim. Let's go have some fun. What's your favorite beverage?
My favorite beverage?
Yeah.
Rum and Coke with lime.
Ah, Cuba Libre.
That's the first one.
I love the first one.
Usually it's like beer and wine, right?
This guy is speaking my language, man. This is we're going to have a fun journey today. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Favorite place I've traveled? Well, I've been around the world, and I think the favorite place I've traveled is probably Canada, of course, because this is my my homeland. I've been coast to coast on a motorcycle, and probably Key West. Key West is pretty amazing. It's just a place where you feel good. Every time you get there, you feel really good. So maybe those are my
awesome.
And those rum and cokes are probably really nice
on
the beach
there.
Well, give us one story from your experience in Key West.
Oh, so many stories. Probably the first one is how I ended up to find Key West was back in the early days of starting this telecom company that was a really, you know, bootstrap startup that we were doing. And I ended up doing a presentation to a sales software sales company that we were considering using their middleware. And they invited me down to this beautiful hotel in South Beach. And I came down early and rented a Harley Davidson, and I just got my license. So I'd never really driven much. And I drove all the way to Key West on this Harley. And it was probably one of the most magical rides of my early career in motorcycling. And, you know, the ocean on both sides, it was fantastic. And seeing the sunset, and stayed down there for the night and had a good time on Duval Street, and drove all the way back to Miami and rested in at the Delano Hotel and did my speech the next day. So it was an incredible experience. 4 days of just incredible South Beach, Key West motorcycle. Can't beat it.
Awesome. When you mix business with pleasure and you like what you do for business, I can feel the passion. So what's your favorite hobby or interest outside of the OCS or construction arena?
Favorite hobby or passion? Probably motorcycling and fishing. So I've been taking up fly fishing here. I'm living in BC and went on my first trout fly fishing expedition last week with a bunch of guys up north of Salmon Arm. And so fishing and motorcycling. I have a lot of interests, so I won't go in detail, but those are two favorites.
Awesome. Well, I'm so jazzed, tribe, to have Tim Koontz our serial entrepreneur today. And I love when I hear words like that, because me as the information entrepreneur, I know we're going to relate. And he's in British Columbia. He's a collaborator with Offsite and a deal maker out of Canada. So we're moving over to Canada today, and we're going to have a conversation with him about this stuff, to where I'm not going to read his full bio because he's all over the place. I challenge you to go read his articles and go back to where from the beginning, when he talks about Frank Lloyd Wright and Marshall Erdman with their initial system builds here on System Build Lifestyle. And as our focus here for the beginning episodes is for us to go to school and bring people in that have been living offsite construction. And when he talks about OCS, that stands for Offsite Construction Systems. So we connected on LinkedIn, and there was definitely that connection where we're speaking the same language. So, Tim, tell us about what you got going and your passion about micro-living, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, well, micro-living for me really developed back in 2010 when I was invited to get involved with an off-site construction housing company that was doing single-res and multi-res builds north of Toronto in a town called North Bay, about 3.5 hours north. And I had another business, and this person operating this business asked me to come in and take a look at it and see where we could maybe fix some things on the front end and sales and marketing and finance. And they had good volume, so they were building, you know, enough houses. They just weren't making enough money. And so I was asked to come in, and I took a look, and we got things kind of fixed on the front. And we got then I was asked to go in the back, so I started building houses. I'd never built a house before, and I started building the houses, project managing the houses. And I got to be exposed to the entire process of offsite construction from the front end right through to the back end, to execution, to turnover. And I got to fix a lot of the pieces of the puzzle. And a lot of that piece of the puzzle got fixed by using what I learned in the car business. And the car business is a great business, I believe, for those people that are operating offsite, you know, housing businesses. If they're selling single res, or they have that type of offsite, you know, they have a show home. To me, applying the car business model was the perfect solution for that business. And in less than 2.5 years, we doubled the revenue and we quadrupled the profit, and we eventually sold it. But to my point about micro-living, the whole time I was in that business, I kept looking at better designs. I'm not a big fan of traditional housing designs and modular, so I kept looking to contemporary. I kept researching Frank Lloyd Wright, Marshall Erdman, and it led me to Quebec, which is where I started to see some of the early innovators in contemporary modular design. And still to this day, I think Quebec probably produces the best modern contemporary offsite construction designs in all of North America. Obviously, there's some, you know, front runners right now like Casita and some other ones that are coming online. But from overall total product volume in housing and in contemporary, and especially small contemporary, this is where the whole micro living concept, I believe, grew out of, was Quebec.
You know, Tim, it's interesting that you say that about Casita, because there was an article in, there was an interview on one of our local television stations where Casita is actually doing a project on Tennyson Street where they are bringing these micro-living small little modulars where they're sliding them into these structural frames for smaller types of living space. And it's becoming really popular here. And it's fascinating when we were talking to you before about Canada being the innovator of offsite construction and how large it is in the Canadian world, which, you know, for us being in the U.S., 3% of building is offsite for us as far as the modular construction goes. So it's nice to see that there's been such a huge explosive expansion in Canada. And you're kind of one of the collaborators and regulators of those types of policies. Can you give us a little insight as to what we were speaking about before with the municipalities and what you're kind of trying to do with changing the mindset?
Well, yeah, it's a great question, Audrey. The thing is that the municipalities, you know, they're swamped with housing. Right now, we've got such a housing booming going on in some of these markets that they just can't even keep up with permitting, let alone looking at new concepts. Now, Kelowna, the city of Kelowna, a very progressive city and a very, you know, fast growth housing market city here in BC, has just approved the first pocket house community in their entire master plan. So although they stuck to traditional kind of, you know, planning and permitting, and I don't think they really changed the zoning. They did recognize that this developer wanted to build a smaller home, 1,300 square foot home, smaller lot, and it was a kind of a irregular lot shape that nobody had been able to develop for over 30 years. And this developer came along with this pocket house idea, and you know, only half the houses have parking, and the other people have to kind of park in these designated spots and kind of walk to their house. But it'll be, you know, again, these little projects are the beginnings, right? It's the beginnings of the models. And there's an architect out of Washington. I want to say his name right. I think it's Ross Chaplin. He's kind of the godfather of this type of design. And he started it back in the 70s, these pocket communities down in Washington State. But again, they're still quite small. We need the next level of developer, somebody who's going to do 50, 100, you know, and really change the footprint. And I think that's what's happening with Casita down in Austin, Texas. I forget the name of the corporation that's fronting it and the CEO behind it, but he's got, I think, up to 5 parcels now secured for this, you know, these micro living developments. And they've just launched, they're launching their first one in June down in Austin called Constellation ATX.
This is fascinating to me. There's a podcast, 99% Invincible, and they had the guy that originally interviewed in the story about Frank Lloyd Wright about the carport, right, and the kind of that, yep, community. And it's go listen to this podcast, because it really was fascinating about how well it worked, but then how the next generation didn't get it. And it's just fascinating how here we are in 2018 kind of having this same conversation, but kind of using different token, yep, words, if you will, to help yep, put this together. And as I'm going to school here, this is the first time I've heard the word pocket, yep, house.
Yeah,
so,
I was going to ask that
peel
same
back
thing.
The layers of what... Let's take a ride on this podcast to say, let's go from the Frank Lloyd Wright carport, that everybody knows, yeah, what a carport is. He was tasked to say $5,000 is what you have. And there's some good stories when you go listen to it. I won't talk about that here, but the carport was a way to cut the costs. I'm thinking pocket house is a smaller house to cut the costs, but peel back the layers a little bit more on that.
Yeah, you're giving me chills, because really Frank Lloyd Wright, Marshall Erdman is the brains behind all this. Marshall Erdman is a businessman, serial entrepreneur from Chicago. And it was Frank Lloyd Wright who found him and said, I really love what you're trying to do with your designs and your system building. And there's so many layers to Marshall Erdman. Like he leased art, high-end art. He owned commercial buildings. Like this guy was a genius in business. And anyway, so Frank Lloyd Wright found him and they tried it, but they were ahead of their time, right? And as far as pocket houses go, really for me, when you start to shrink the design of a home, you have to get much, much smarter, much, much more, you know, efficient, if you could say, in your thinking. Your design needs to be, it can't be loose. Like the way that traditional houses are built to me are loose. Oh, we've got, you know, 1,800 square feet. Let's just fill it up with whatever. Yeah, everybody needs bathrooms and bedrooms and, you know, standard sizes and standard this and standard that. And it's been the same way for so long because nobody's been challenged to build something better. Now, Casita, to me, is really knocked it out of the park. 350 square feet, like that place, that's great design. And I don't know if you're familiar with the company they hired to help them with that design, but it's Urbaneer. Urbaneer is a huge upstart out of Michigan, and it's headed up by CEO Bruce Thompson and his VP of sales, Lisa Spa. And that company is a company to watch over the next 5 years, because they're doing the design. They're doing the interior design. They're creating new products. They're innovating new small space products so that when the builders and the developers start to wake up to the fact that small space design needs different products.
Is really where we're going, right? I mean, that's where we're all moving. Yes.
Be there. They've already got products out, but they're scaling and ramping up quickly over the next 6 months. You're going to hear a lot more about Urbaneer.
I have to tell a story about last night. We're just working our tails off because the next Art of Construction show home we're doing as a mid-century modern. And this is in Denver, Colorado, where this house was built in 1940. And there's all kinds of cool stories coming about it. This house was, you know, built really cool, but kind of ahead of its time, but what it was. And last night we were working on tearing out the furnace system that was 1940s. And just the furnace housing is probably 6 foot by 8 foot, and it was assembled down in the basement, this thing. We're having to unassemble it to where just sections of this furnace is going to take 4 people to take out of there.
Crazy.
And one of my handymans that's been helping with, and he's like, and I said, well, we're going to be using a real high efficiency and local guy that was on the Art of Construction, Paul with Lightly Treading, and others I've been talking to about working smarter, not harder in this house, about taking this chase that is literally 3 foot by 3 foot that just runs through the whole house that only has the hot water heater and the furnace running through this thing. That's this huge cavity that has all of these real world problems of asbestos, and 8-inch walls and all this stuff. And I've been the connector like you are, saying, well, okay, we're going to direct vent this the way it should be done, and we're going to get properly make this the AV chase for this house in the heart of this home and use it for legitimate space instead of just this huge inefficient hole running through the house. And why I tell that story is that I've had the pleasure of being on the listening and guiding end of so many amazing conversations with people like you and connecting us all together to say, man, it's amazing how it's still done today and learning from the past and moving forward. I just and go to the show notes, we'll put pictures of this, because it's just been like the comments are like, man, this needs to go in a museum, because it was ahead of its time. In 1940, they had this evaporative water system into the boiler that was just amazing of having that. I didn't even know they had stuff like that back then. They had that stuff ahead of its time. Ahead of its time also had its problems. And here we are sitting in 2018 talking about offsite construction in the automotive world, saying it's just crazy how sticks and bricks construction is still typically done a lot today. Yeah. So tying that all together. So what's your take on how to connect the dots with that, with all these? And on the States, there's a lot of it that is crusty supplier, crusty contractor.
Yeah, it still hasn't
crusty
changed,
politics,
right?
Holding things back.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's really finding those, to me, it's finding those contractors and those vendors that are in that middle stage. They're not at the early stage of their growth in their business, and they're not entrenched with the old blue buds and the old ties. But the guys that are trying to break in and steal market share and grow, and they think differently as contractors because they didn't grow up necessarily in the old world, and they're looking to.
I feel like you're speaking language.
I did that when I built Bay Builders, and I started building all the houses, modular houses. I had to re-educate all my vendors, and I would do a love-in, and I'd say, okay, you know, does anybody have any hard feelings about the way we're doing things today? Because we're gonna do it differently. And you know what? I know it's gonna feel uncomfortable, and you might have a little bit of pain. But at the end, I'm sure you will agree that it made sense that we did it this way. And all of them came around, and all of them couldn't wait to do jobs with me. They were always like, Tim, this is the best. You know, you're planned out like 4 weeks or 8 weeks in advance. Like, when can I schedule? Like, you know, I can still do all my traditional jobs, but when I go to your jobs, I'm in and out in 3 days, and I make my money, and I paid everybody in 2 weeks instead of 60 days. And that made sure everybody showed up on my job. So, you know, you got to change things up.
You know, Tim, there is such a correlating story here. Yesterday, so my company is Modular SureSite. I'm a general contractor that I work with modular builders or dealers in the state of Colorado. And basically, I set up the site work, the house gets set, and then I finish the site work. And the same conversation just happened yesterday at our site in Evergreen. And I had a septic guy there, I had a plumber there, I had our framer there, and they were all like, wow, like, if we all collaborate and talk and figure out how these trades come in and out, we can actually make this so much quicker and faster. And they were like loving this whole concept. It's a little scary for people to really kind of transition over. I feel that's what Devin and I are doing. We're really trying to educate and have the conversation. And then with the company that I have designed, it's really living that and showing people that there is a smarter way. And if we all speak and talk and collaborate together on doing site work and just in general, even changing that set process, you can streamline it and make it so much better. It doesn't have to be so difficult as it is today.
Exactly. And I'd love to compare notes with you, because I've built a whole system sheet, because I obviously was executing projects, you know.
Oh, yes, please. Yes, please.
I have this whole checklist that I take you know, take the site through right from the beginning, you know, right through to the end. And it'd be interesting to see, you know, your system, your model, and compare notes. And on that,
I will
note
do
about,
that. I'm going to do that. Okay, I'm taking
good.
You up on it.
On that note about vendors, I remember a quick little story, if you don't mind me sharing one. Is that okay?
Storytelling, okay. Story selling.
So yeah. I'm on this job site, and I've maybe put together 12 homes, and the excavator and I are becoming friends, but he's a crusty old dude, you know, but he's a great excavator. So he says to me, Tim, tell the plumber or the electrician that the hole will be ready tomorrow. And I said, well, why are you telling me? I go, why don't you just, you know who my plumber is. You know, you've seen him on all the jobs, the 12 jobs before. You know, why don't you just call him and have him, you tell him when you'll be ready for him. Well, that's just not the way it's done, he says.
I know
and
it. It's so crazy.
Him, I said,
yes, you're exactly, like the coordinator.
I'm paying you enough that if I ask you to call the plumber, you're going to call the plumber. And I'm not, you know, I'm not busting your balls. You're a nice guy. You know, you're a miserable man, but you're a great excavator. Just call the plumber and you set it up. Sure enough, he called the plumber. They started talking. They became friends. They started drinking beers together. Like, you know what I mean? It's just, it's really just.
It's so,
you know, like,
crazy.
Meanwhile, these guys have probably worked for 20 years together. Like, this is a small town. Like, so this excavator's probably seen this guy a million times, never had a straight conversation with him. And all I did was say, get me out of the middle. You guys talk. I'm just going to screw things
right up.
You're going to tell me six and I'm going to say seven or whatever. And then he's going to ask me a question. Then I got to go back to you. I go, you guys just talk directly and it's going to go so much smoother. And it did. Anyways, that's my story.
Tribe, this is gold. This is, and he's lived it. Like the key is, you know, we're all trying to do so much and so much noise out there today. And technology claims to do all these things for you, but be the connector, make the handshake and get out of the way. And that's our job, to pull all this stuff together.
So
and I love your love in. I may change. We call it the needs analysis on my, and we, the, all that stuff is like, it's like, I was in a meeting the other day. I'm like, it's okay that we're connecting all this. Like, do we need to hug this out
a
little bit? Because it's going to be okay. Like, you know, it's a man alive. It shouldn't be this challenging to collaborate, because you know what we're all doing together? We're helping make somebody's house a home. And that's what I love about the word of system build, because man, we all get so jaded so quick, even in this new revolution of, I'm only going to use shipping containers, and I'm only going to use SIPS panels. And it's, I live that day to day owning a window and door company, and I call it the standoff, the manufacturer standoff. They're all so similar, and they're all holding the gun to your head trying to say you can only do it this way. And that's just not how it is. Like, it's true about a collaboration. So, I off air, you and I were kind of talking about how, you know, what's our job? Well, we're deal makers of connectors and collaborating the art of construction. And this podcast is focused on the system build, or all the parts to connect that, because there's a lot of parts to connect. And there's plenty of fruit on the tree for us all. And that's what I love about when you go listen to on Katerra. They're really trying to be collaborators, which is really smart of them. Now, they are going to definitely be a disruptor, but they're thinking the right way.
You know what I think it all comes down to? So you did a show on The Art of Construction, show 99, The Dynamic Presence, and you had Lila Gonzalez on there, and she was talking.
Lila,
I'm sorry. And it was really interesting, because what she said was, we are all in the business of working with people. It all comes down to people and communication. And really, I mean, Tim, you just showed the same example of what I think Devin goes through and I go through. It's all about communication. And there's a breakdown of communication with trades or with the process of being able to do construction, because, again, we're always getting in our way. Instead of just communicating face-to-face, making that relationship, everything seems to work better that way, and we get problems solved quicker. So I think you bring up a good point, and really that's all relational to system build. It's all relation to all types of construction and business in general. So what you have brought up is a perfect complement to even that podcast that you had on.
Totally. Yeah, and not all podcasts relate. It's, you know, we're really much more on the art side of construction, and I try to say we're a mental model building networks and platforms, and we're in the people business. And that sometimes gets jaded when you are, if you're trying to be laser focused on the construction side. So that was a great SBL hug. We all just had a really good hug together, right? So I want to go into some more real world, talk about some, you know, the about, you know, right sizing homes and some real, I love your real world specifics about like your excavator story. So what's another kind of right sizing story, as you love using the word right sizing, and talk to us about that?
I think, you know, once you get into right sizing, like, you got to get with the vendor. So, you know, I've mentioned Urban Air, who's kind of pioneering great things in mid rise and also in single res, small res. I'm talking about homes that are, you know, not quite as small as Casita. I think that's kind of an urban type product, but I'm talking 600 square feet to 1200 square feet. And when you do that, I believe you need best in class vendors in every category for a seasonal or yearly kind of run. So this year, 2018, 2019, we're running with these 19 vendors in our selections, and they're all best in class. Like Jaga, I don't know if you're familiar with Jaga. Jaga is a I think it's Polish or Czechoslovakian company. I believe it's Polish, but they're building some of the most advanced hydronic systems. And I believe hydronics is coming back. You were telling the story about the boiler system in your old 1940 house. Well, like you said, that technology was around. It was just kind of very inefficient. Well, now with combi boiler systems like Weissmann and Navien out of Germany and Korea, and then you partner up Jaga, which is this beautiful little slant, you know, like a slant fin kind of boiler radiator that mounts into the floor with these little micro fans that run heating and cooling all in the same unit, and you put those in the floors of these new homes, you've got the most efficient heating and cooling system in the world now, all from Europe. And it's here now, it's in North America, but it's slow, right? It's slow to be adopted. So these are the types of, you know, new, you know, big ass fans, you know, they've got a nice LED fan and lighting system, you know, Somfy blinds, you know, all these kind of brands. Panasonic has some of the best small home products coming out of Japan for over 20 years. North America isn't even really aware that they make some of the best small appliances in the world. And these small designs, these smaller homes are going to need these types of products.
Awesome. You know, great references with authenticity, which is, I love about how authentic you are when you come across. It's not just you're not talking about them just because they're paying for something. You're talking about them because they are fixing. When you talk to right sizing, you have to have the right products for that right size house. And these are people that are taking the time to work on
yes.
that focus. And in the end, it's gonna win for everybody, right?
Yeah, and it's gonna drive competition to make better products, right? It's gonna drive competition. Competition is what drives innovation. And right now, we've been doing it the same way for so long with the same forced air systems and, you know, and all these entrenched kind of vendors and old networks and supply chains that, yeah, it's gonna take some disruption. And volume is a disruptor. When you say, yeah, we're doing 100 homes with this, now some vendor's going to go, well, why didn't we get those 100 homes? You know, where were we on that?
Totally. Yeah, and I have to say, kind of an authentic self-plug here is to say, like, I call myself the disruptor. You know, you and I are speaking the same language. And people say, well, how does the revenue work? Everyone always wants to ask, how do you get paid to do this? And I said, and my answer is always, well, I'm building a tribe and collecting and collaborating with the right people, and that platform will all come together. And when you think the, you know, work smarter, not harder, and it all comes together. And SBO right now, my team behind the scenes are kind of saying, well, where's the revenue? Because AOC, Arda Construction, our sister station, we have all kinds of amazing things behind the scenes where we're working, and it's authentically coming through the microphone. So that's one thing I'd love for us to continue that conversation, is to say that's what you're doing too as a deal maker, quote unquote, to for people to resonate with that. But at the end of the day, you're a collaborator that takes all these products and puts them in the right place and helps do that. Is that is kind of a safe analogy of where we're coming together and everything happens for a reason here?
Yeah, it's my vision. It's my dream. It's not happening yet. You know, it's getting close every day. Like every day I'm doing this, you know, I'm out there talking, connecting from the front end. On Friday, tomorrow, I go down to Vancouver and I meet the winner of the Urbanism infill competition. So 22 different architecture firms competed. They were each given a single res lot in Vancouver, you know, virtually. And they were asked, they were asked to design an infill strategy that densified and created community. So they had all these parameters to meet.
And, interesting.
Yeah. And the winner.
Who was the company that put this together? Was it a magazine or what
I
was
think
it?
It's an association called Urbanism. So they're a group in Vancouver. Because affordable housing is such a problem here right now. They're just trying to figure out, like, how do we fix this problem?
So affordable housing is a problem everywhere, and we want to give credit where credit is due and be a voice for that. So we'll make sure to get the information from you and get it in the show notes to showcase the people that are working on these affordability. So let's peel back the layers in closing on this affordability conversation to say, you know, what are you doing, when you say your vision and your passion, I know Audrey feels the same way. That's why she really wholeheartedly went after this, is to put more people into a home that are struggling right now. So right. Can you tell us some stories or what you're working on to achieve that? Because earlier, before we got on air, you talked about how there's so many other things around construction with, you know, regulatory and finance and supply chain and all these things right. to make offsite systems come together.
Right. So for me, right now in the bigger markets where I'm working, the Okanagan, Kelowna, which is kind of the Napa Valley of Canada, beautiful place I've told you that's making things kind of change. They've got a new regulatory product called an RU7 lot. So they've taken an infill lot that had a single res home from 1950 that's regular, say 50 by maybe 110, and they've zoned it for RU7, which allows a builder to put a fourplex in multiple configurations on that single res lot. Now, this will blow your mind. Those single res lots, just the land, are worth $700,000. And the fourplexes that these developers are putting, most of them are very poorly designed because they just didn't get to the right designer and they approved only a couple designs. Anyways, it's really changing fast. There's some beautiful modern contemporary stuff that's being finished this year. These units sell $550 minimum for one of the fourplexes.
And what size is that?
That's 1,300 square feet.
Yeah, we're kind of similar in our market space, actually,
yeah,
believe
our
it
local
or not, which is crazy.
Yeah.
In our Denver market, we're kind of relational.
Right, so you've got this RU7 infill thing happening, lots of fourplexes, over 70 under construction right now. So that's what, 280 homes wow. coming online. They need probably uh-huh. at least another 1,000 or you know, so there's no end of demand for that creativity. I'm working with a very cool offsite company called Timberblock, which has been isolated in the east in Quebec. And I'm trying to get them to get their product to come to British Columbia. They're down in North Carolina, but they really need to come here. Very interesting company. Anybody wants to check out a cool system built panel company that does something very unique, check out Timberblock. And then these guys, this company that won the infill here, they took it to a whole other level. So when I talk about fourplex infill, that's kind of private stuff, right? That's private investors, you know, getting lots, you know, traditional builders kind of buying up, spec building, that kind of stuff. This company yeah. down in Vancouver is really solving the affordable housing crisis by taking that single res lot and putting 9 separate homes within this great design. And the problem is that they probably designed it using traditional construction because architects are creators. They don't think offsite right away. They just think, how do we do this? And, you know, like Frank Lloyd Wright, like, why are we doing this? And, you know, why does it sit this way in the sun and, you know, in the carport and why the roof line is like this and why the windows are here and why the kitchen's here? So that's how architects, that's they're trained to do that. And then they're creators, they're artists. So my job with them is to, I asked them, I said, well, have you thought of like converting that entire design, that whole fourplex, that whole 9-unit infill for Vancouver into offsite construction? And they said, you can do that? I'm like, yeah. I said, we just, I got to see the blueprint. I got to see how you guys configured the floor plans. And we might have to make a few modifications. But if you're going to really solve affordable housing, you need to use offsite construction to do that infill. Because if you use traditional construction, it'll take 2 years to finish that 9-unit complex, and it will not be built to the same standard and quality as offsite. And they're like, well, yeah, I'll get down here. So I got a meeting tomorrow. We're going to see what's happening.
Awesome story. Yeah, here locally, there's a big kind of uprising of the architecture of how these, they call them row homes or slot homes, look in these neighborhoods to where it's about, you know, packing it in. And we all have to understand when you reference the $550,000 to buy a lot, it's the same thing here. So we have to put our briefcase builder hat on and understand the ROI on the investment is really, I think, what where this has to start. But then that's our job as the art of construction, us leading the charge to say, we have to work smarter, not harder, to really figure out this design and the timelines and all those things. And that's where system build really comes into play, because there's so many, back when you talked about those products and my story about my 1940s, that literally is the size of a car in the basement. Now that's the size of a whole freaking unit. You know, it's how different this stuff is. So you have to use different products to make that work. Different, you know, how your dividing walls are built and all of the different art side of building a wall through a system. Wouldn't you say that's kind of safe to say of where this is all going? When I listen to everybody in there, you know, where the light bulbs are going off to compile and stitch this all together.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's just a whole new process. It's not even a new process. It's been around. It's just, it's becoming evolved. Like,
it's a new way of thinking, It's a way of thinking.
And a new way of putting it together. Like when you look at timber block, the way they put together a wall panel, nobody does anything like that in North America, maybe even the world. Like they are a truly innovator in their level of putting together a system built home. And, you know, as far as the regulatory side, I think I'll just mention, because I know we're going to wrap up soon, is the big thing you want to watch in Canada is we've talked about the problem or the bottleneck in the whole development process to solve affordable housing and using offsite is regulatory. Now, if you follow a company called New Commons Development Inc., they just announced last week that they're forming the largest community land trust in Vancouver. So basically what that means is that they've secured the land. So I think it was 7 lots, you know, in this area of Vancouver, and they've structured them with the government on a 99-year lease to keep the land cost out of the deal. So you'll have to really, you know, do your research on it to understand it better. But I believe this type of land structuring is the future of affordable housing. By keeping the land cost out of the purchase or the acquisition price, by pushing out the lease. And there's there's a lot of technical regulatory stuff in there. But if they're investing this kind of money, you can be sure they've already figured out the entire program for the financing and everything else. So they're going to build over 1,000 homes in the next 3 years in downtown Vancouver at a price point for around, I think they said $350. They're not just homes, it could be units, but considering it's a $2 million buy in Vancouver, $350 is a steal. And they're going to control the regulation on it so that only people earning between $30,000 and $80,000 who can't afford the $2 million homes can buy into this community land trust development. So really,
that's
really exciting things happening on a city, you know, on a metropolitan level that I believe cities like Austin and cities like New York and, you know, cities like, you know, all the cities in California that are struggling with affordable housing, San Francisco, you know, they're all...
Denver.
You know, they're gonna take, developers are gonna follow this model, and it's not a private, it's not a traditional capitalist developer model, which is why I think it's gonna work, because it's driven by social community thinking, and these people aren't looking to ROI the land, they're looking.
I love it, because land is always the biggest variable with any type of building, right? Yeah. I mean, that's always the biggest variable.
And cities, I don't mean to cut you off, but cities have land. And that's where the collaboration comes in. The city entrusts the land to the nonprofit corporation, because the city needs to solve the affordable housing problem. So by everybody working together, and then obviously, you know, this is where we come in on the backside of this, is like, well, why aren't we doing some of this in offsite construction? Like, you've got 1,000 homes to build. Like, let us do at least 30% offsite.
I agree. So. I love it.
Tim, I am just blown away. I mean, thank LinkedIn and how small this world is, where we went on this journey. And, you know, I know there's going to be many more and a lot of connections that you can help and really make all of our ideas come to life. Because I'm not just about theory. I love about executing and, you know, always be marketing, but take massive action. So when we talk about this stuff, how do we all collaborate and make everybody win to get more people of the house in their home and people that really want to work smarter, not harder? Great stuff, man. So in closing, if there's one thing that the system build audience can use to grow their business or get involved in the change that is a happening, what's that one thing you want to leave the world to digest and take home to help them grow their business?
I think it's really not to give up. You know, Audrey's a good example. I'm an example. There's, you know, you're an example. There, you know, this has been going on for me for 8 years, and I think I'm just getting started. Like, I'm barely scratching the surface. There's so much more for us to do, and it's just not to give up. Just keep pushing the ball ahead a little bit every day, and just know that it's going to happen. And it's not just, I think the thing that helps me is that I know it's not just happening regionally. It's not just in BC, it's in Denver, it's in Austin. And in fact, I study the global market a lot. And, you know, I love watching New Zealand. I love watching Australia and the UK, and, you know, and watching the whole global offsite scene just exploding. You know, we've got a UK based entrepreneur called Integra that's opened up in California 2 years ago, and they just secured $45 million in financing for their system framing business in California, and they all came from the UK, and they were doing it there since the 80s, system building, and they sold their company for $500 million, and they came over here, 9 executives, and now they're, you know, they're showing us the way here in North America and California. So there's just, you know, Katerra, $892 million, you know, like, it's just getting started. It's just getting started, and there's so much more opportunity.
Tim, I love the story, and I sit here and think about this, is you can jump on the interstate today and you can get there a lot faster, and you can just get it done and do it the same way you've always done it. But boy, man, going back to the road less traveled and tanking the windy river through there is so much more fun. And this is, it's not easy. It's hard. If you want to join the system build team, it's hard. When you say, you know, I'm sitting in meetings and everyone always wants the revenue and this and that. And I'm like, this is all coming. And overnight, we're going to all be famous, all of us that are having these fireside chats together. And we're going to change it. Like, all of a sudden, taxis were gone and Uber was the thing. You know, all of a sudden, the brick and mortar and all the Kmarts are being torn down for system build housing because Amazon is the thing. It's not that it's not coming. It's just how and when. Yeah. And how do you do that and get it done is through passion and education. So, man, thanks for sharing your passion and education. Doug. Let's stay in touch, and I can't wait to see where this goes.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it. Thanks to both of you. Thanks, Audrey.
Thanks, awesome. Tim.
I think that can relate to the people that are trying to make it work when it comes to offsite construction. I saw you lighting up like a kid in a candy store over there, huh, Audrey?
You know what's so great is all of the global perspective that he has, and learning about all these other companies that have been doing this in different areas and being super successful and transitioning that over and having that conversation. Tim is truly one great guy in the knowledge base of offsite construction and learning from the different experiences that he's had, and sharing those with us has been over the top exciting for me.
Excellent. So many great companies recommended and talked to from an authentic point of view, and we are honored to be that global megaphone here in the Art of Construction family of brands here on System Build Lifestyle. So any of those companies you want to talk with us, hey, we're here to learn. Give and you will get, the go-givers here on the SBL, changing offsite construction. Good work, everyone.